please take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading. We got down to the 17th verse, but we need to really reread from verse 12 down. And so we're going to start there. So please, Acts chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." And we're going to close with that verse and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today for the opportunity that we have to come into your house and to hear your word read. I thank you for the Sunday school classes. I thank you for the opportunity to open your precious word and visit and fellowship over your word, always presenting the gospel, whether it's in a Sunday school class or a Bible study or the message, or whether it's on one of the radio programs through the internet. Please, dear Lord, that we just have an opportunity to continue to proclaim your word, and you have given us this precious opportunity, and we need to thank and praise you for it. It is sure not by our power and strength that this has been able to go forward. It is by your power and strength, and we thank you and praise you for it. I thank you, Father, for the young people as they were able to go through the books of the New Testament. And Father, it's a blessing to see that they know those books, and they begin as their young lives to open their books and the Bible and read it and study it and learn that their power and their strength will all come from you and not from this world or something that we can establish. Thank you for the special. Thank you for the reading of the word this morning. Please just guide and lead us now as we open this book and we see the precious word of God proclaimed, and we see exactly what Peter's talking about here when he turns to these folks that were responsible for crucifying the Lord Jesus. So please guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The 17th verse begins with, "And now, brethren," and so Peter speaks to those that are present as they are brothers to him, not brothers in Christ, but brothers in their brother Jews or brother Israelites. And so he is so very concerned, as we find through the scripture, that Paul as well, he has such a desire that his family members, that his people, the Jews, would be saved, that they would come from darkness, being bound by the law, and come out of that darkness under the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter is trying to share with them. And through these miracles and the special power and presence that the Spirit of God has laid upon the apostles, and here as Peter and John were going into the temple and they had this lame man and watched him be miraculously healed by the power of God. And now, as the song presented, they were walking and leaping and praising God. And so, as he would walk into the temple, and we saw the young folks as they were showing their excitement for knowing the power of the healing and the authority of God that has accomplished that. Well, we have a very large group of folks here, and these folks are all Jews, and they're standing around, and they're gazing upon Peter and John as if there was some power or some special gift that they had, not the power of God through them, but something that they had, and Peter takes care of that immediately, and he wants to know, why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness that we have made this man to walk? And then he goes right into the conversation of a conversation that they know. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, our fathers, who they have spoken about. They have told us about this Jesus, the Holy One. And as it comes through there, it says, God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Ye denied the Holy One, ye denied the Just One, and you desired a murderer. And we continue to review over this, because we need to understand that anyone that is not born again, someone that has not come by faith to the Lord Jesus, never trusted the Lord Jesus, they have decided, they have chosen a murderer, because the devil is none other than a murderer. And so you see by the picture that we have here, when they were standing and Jesus was on trial, those people had an opportunity that said, we want Jesus, we want the Messiah, we trust in him. But instead of that, they said, no, we want Barabbas, and which is a murderer. And so you see, every person in their life makes that decision. When you come to the age of accountability, which, you know, we look at that age at a different rate, and everybody's a little bit different. But when you acknowledge that you are a sinner and you need a Savior, you're going to make a choice. And that choice is either the devil, the murderer, or you're going to trust in the Lord Jesus. And so understand that there's no middle of the ground. You can't go to church and be religious and figure that salvation is going to be yours. It's not. You have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You have to trust in him. That's the point that Peter is making here to his brethren. And so when we come, and he makes it very clear here in the verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And so now we have the evidence, we have the witness, we have the testimony of this lame man. And so it's something they can literally see. They witnessed not only the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, but many, and there was testimony of hundreds that have seen the risen Lord after he had risen from the dead. And we're right here at this just the threshold. We're just a short period of time past when Jesus was raised from the dead. They said, you know it. You were witnesses. You have heard of the testimony of others, and it's the name of Jesus that has healed this man, the same man that you have crucified. Now we come, and it looks here in verse 17, and now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, and did also your rulers. Brethren, again, there's only one difference between Peter and the folks that he's talking to. Peter has received the Messiah. He has come by faith to the Lord Jesus. They have rejected him and demanded his death, the death of the Messiah. They've demanded and then requested a murderer. So you see, you got a choice, the murderer or the Messiah, the Savior. They had that same choice. Peter could have condemned the Jews for crucifying Jesus. Peter makes a statement here, who you crucified. You desired a murderer over him. But look at the point that he's making, because it's a point that we cannot miss. We can condemn people for their lifestyle. We can criticize them for the way they live or the religion that they're a part of. But the only way that we're ever going to have victory, they are ever going to have victory in their life, is if they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, look what Peter did. Peter said, you know, you're Jews. You're a Jew just like me. And he told them what they had done. You have crucified the Messiah. You chose a murderer. Because you see, you have to be guilty. You have to be lost first before you can be saved. But he did not leave them there. And so many do today. So many condemn and criticize and then leave them there. Peter didn't leave them there. Peter gave them the greatest message that he could give them. And that is in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the message. Don't expect anyone to repair their life or make their life right without Jesus, without the Spirit of God living within their heart. And so you see, as we look at this, we find that Peter could have condemned the Jews for crucifying Jesus, but instead he stated their guilt, he proved their wickedness, and then he begged them to repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so to point out their sin, there's nothing wrong with that. But please don't leave them there. And when we condemn them, we need to when we make that statement, we need to not be the judge. We need to be the one that's presenting the love of God. Yes, we've got to say, you're a sinner, you're lost, you need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. And we need to do that out of love, not out of condemnation. We can reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But I think that is set for the believers. Or we can tell them all about Jesus and do it not in judgment, but do it in love. Sinners need to be called to God through the message of the cross, which is a message of love. How did God the Father show His great love to us? Through His Son, the Lord Jesus, upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, you hear that many times in the liberal churches today. God loves you. God loves you. God wouldn't send anyone to hell. God sends no one to hell. Everyone has an opportunity of salvation. You go to hell, it's your own doing. Yes, He will give you the final judgment and cast you into the lake of fire. But it's because of your ignorance. It's because of you not believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God desires all to be saved. God the Father shows His love through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please, trust in Him today and look to Him. Again, the way is shown. God's love is through the cross. The Scripture says here in verse 17, "And now, brethren," that word W-O-T is know, "I know that through ignorance ye did it, and as also your rulers." Through ignorance. Did what? Crucified the Lord Jesus. Through ignorance. You see, what they have done, they have crucified the Lord Jesus because of ignorance in their heart concerning Him. They did not know Him as their Savior. They did not recognize Him because they did not believe the Old Testament prophets concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus to save take their sins away. "And now, brethren, I what through ignorance ye did it, as did your rulers. So you see, it's not only the people, but it's also the rulers. They also were ignorant to that fact. Now, let's look at John chapter 5. We're going to look at some verses of Scripture here, because we need to see their ignorance. When you do not know the Lord Jesus, you cannot know God the Father. Gospel of John, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 45 and 46. John chapter 5, verse 45 through 47, actually. John chapter 5, verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking, of course, but if ye believe not his writing, how shall ye believe my words? Let's go to Luke, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23, We find Jesus upon the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They did not realize that they were crucifying the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, their Savior. The teachers missed the truth. They were looking, and they taught that there is going to be a Savior come. But that Savior was just to take them out from under the rule of Rome and come and set up his kingdom, and they would rule and reign forever. That's what they were looking for. The teachers of the day missed the Lord Jesus as Savior. They went right to him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they missed his point of Messiah. They were looking for a ruler, for leaders to destroy Rome, not to be saved by some Messiah that was to come, because they didn't feel they needed a Messiah. They were abiding by all their traditions and rules and laws, and they didn't need anything besides what they had. They lacked this knowledge, and so they crucified Jesus. The religious leaders, the rulers, did not know who they were crucifying. If you question this, let's look at a scripture verse that is very clear, and that is in 1 Corinthians, as it states here in verse 17 of chapter 3, brethren, your ignorance ye did it. And then let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read up a little higher than that. Let's start in verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Same thing that's spoken of back in Acts. If they would have known, and that word knew, to be sure, they did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come now back to verse 17, and know, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Why did they do this ignorant thing? It all comes down to those things in verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer and hath so fulfilled. And then it goes on, repent ye therefore and be converted. But let's look at those things. because that's what's so important. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, those things, everything pertaining to the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, from his virgin birth to his resurrection, everything was so clear in the Old Testament for these teachers to know and to learn, and yet they missed it because they were not led by the Spirit of God to search the Word of God. They were led more by their tradition. And again, which God before had showed, God announced it through his prophets very clear what was to come by the mouth of all his prophets. Now, you can sure record these. We're not going to take time today to go through them, but let me help you with this. God revealed to Adam the manner of Christ's coming, and that was the seed of a woman in Genesis 3:15. That's the first gospel. God revealed it to Abraham that Christ should be from the nation of Israel. That's in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. God revealed it to Jacob that Christ would come through the tribe of Judah. That's in Genesis 49, 10. God revealed it to David that Christ would be born through his lineage. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8, 12, 13, and 16. God revealed to Micah that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, 2. God revealed it to Malachi that Christ would be preceded by a forerunner who would announce his coming. And that's Malachi 3, 1. God revealed to Daniel the time Christ should be cut off in death. Daniel 9, 26. God revealed to Zechariah that Christ would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. God revealed to Isaiah that Christ should suffer and die for the sins of all the people. This one you've got to read all the chapter 53 of Isaiah. God revealed to the psalmist what manner of death, and we find that in Psalms 22, 16 and Psalms 16, 10 and 11. This is just a few of those things that were referred to here by Peter when he's speaking to these folks. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. And so I just touched on a few of those scriptures. If you like those, I can sure bring those to you, get to those after the service. But those things, yes, it was like looking through a glass. It wasn't quite as clear as what we have it because the Lord Jesus has come. But they had so much evidence. And we know the wise men, as they came, they said, "Where is the king?" You know, they wanted to know because they had studied these scriptures. And then they went and said, "Well, we know where he's going to be born." But you see, they missed it. They missed it because they were looking through their traditions and through their church services and through all those things that people look at today. And they miss the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do not understand that they need a Savior. Peter, after bringing this to their attention, but those things, and just in Scripture verses just above in verse 13, remember he says, "The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers." That's who we just talked about. Those people told you all about the virgin birth of Jesus. They told you where he was going to be born. They told you how he was going to suffer and die. They told you all about it. You missed it. Now, Peter just stopped right there. That's it. He just turned and walked away. "You crucified my Lord." No, he didn't. And here's what we never need to miss. Because we need to tell them about the love of Jesus. And he turned to them and he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Please, please turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. These wonderful words were spoken to Israel, not to the Gentiles. This was to Israel. Peter was preaching to his own people, "Repent and be converted. Repent and be converted. Your sins may be blotted out." The repentance that Peter speaks of is the acknowledgement what they have done concerning the denying of the Lord Jesus, the crucifying of the Lord Jesus, the denying of the Holy and the Just One. They must repent of their sin and confess that His blood is on their hands. God would blot out their sins and forgive them as He promised back in Isaiah 43:25. And let's turn back there. Isaiah 43:25. The message is there for these folks to know. The message is here today for folks to know. We need to proclaim it. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. What a promise. What a promise. Sin cannot be forgiven before the sinner repents of his sin. And repentance always must precede a pardon. And John the Baptist said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." All these years they have rejected the Messiah. But God knows that there's going to be a day when Israel will be restored again. And His promise will come to them. And He will give them this wonderful gift of salvation. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." And we're going to start right there, because I have Zechariah 12, Zechariah 14, Isaiah 44 that we need to look at, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and we're already over time, so I'm going to, we'll begin there next week, and please don't miss it, because to repent means to turn. And today, I'm afraid that too many, when they say the words, they turn around. And if you turn around, you're going the same direction that you've just come from. We don't need to do that. We need to turn. We need to turn. I think many folks today in their religious life, and they call it a Christian life, are on one of those roundabouts. You just keep going around and around. How many of you been on those roundabouts that they have now? Those things are really neat. You just keep going, and wherever you want to get off, you just jump off. But we don't need to do that, because when we turn, it's a definite turn to the Lord Jesus. We turn from the murderer to our Messiah, the Savior. But you must trust in Jesus today to have that. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank and praise You today for Your wonderful words. And don't let us ever, unless a person walks away from us when we want to tell them about the love of Jesus, you need Jesus. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus. And if they don't like those words and they walk away, then that's their decision. But Father, let's not us be the judge condemning those that are doing something that is evil and wrong, and they're mixed up with some cult. But we need, Father, we need to always give them the gospel. Give them the gospel, because only the Holy Spirit in their heart, only the Holy Spirit will be able to guide them and lead them to the Lord Jesus, and then to the truths of the Word of God. We can't do that. So please, just give us the strength and the wisdom to proclaim Your precious gospel every opportunity we have. Thank You, Father, for this day, and thank You for Your Word. I hope, Father, that there's no one here that does not know You as their Savior. If there is, please, that today they would call upon You. Call upon You. It doesn't matter the church that you're a part of right now. That'll be dealt with later. Right now, we need to take care of this problem of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and it's a one-time thing, you just call upon Him. please, today. Convict the hearts of all, born again and lost as well. Bring the lost to salvation and grow the saved. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.